Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
Growing up, I got to be honest, I always thought Psalm 23 was a little cheesy, that it was a little kitschy, that it was the kind of Bible verse you might see cross-stitched on the wall in your grandmother's basement, right? Psalm 23 has that kind of feeling. The opening lines, the imagery of Psalm 23 evoke this sort of sentimental, sort of sugary sweet faith that's out of touch with reality, especially for folks like us who live in cities or urban areas. We don't have shepherds or green pastures or quiet waters. Those things are not exactly easy to come by. But the more that I meditate on Psalm 23, and maybe the older I get and the more I kind of think of these words, the more I realize that it's not actually portraying a sentimental or shallow or unrealistic view of God. Rather, Psalm 23 paints a picture of what an abundant life, what real life can look like when we follow the Good Shepherd. This can be true, not just for David a few thousand years ago, but for you and me today in the city of Chicago. Now, before we dive deep into Psalm 23 and unpack it a little bit, I just want to talk about Psalms in general for a second. The book of Psalms, this large book in the middle of your Bible, is a collection of prayers and songs, many of which were written by David. And one of the things that makes the Psalms so unique, so different and beautiful, is because they're really quite different from the rest of Scripture, from the rest of the Bible, and especially the Old Testament. Pastor and the late pastor and author Tim Keller, who many of us know, he points out that the book of Psalms, one of the reasons it's so unique, is it's not only historical literature like much of the Old Testament, it's a compilation of ancient poems and songs and prayers. These are works of art. Each one of them. And each of these works of art are written to be prayed, recited, and sung, to be done, not merely to be read. I love that. This isn't just something that we read like a history book. This is something that, as Pastor Tim Keller points out, becomes a prayer for us, becomes a song for us, becomes something not only that David lived and knew to be true, but something that we can live and know to be true in our lives here and now. In other words, the Psalms are not a theology textbook. They don't just teach us theological truths or facts about God, although they do that. But in other, what they really do, not just teaching us facts about God, they show us how to develop an ongoing relational conversation with God. They show us what prayer looks like. There's 150 Psalms, and that's for a good reason, because in these 150 Psalms, we see the whole breadth of the human experience brought into conversation with God. Every situation that you could think of, every life circumstance that you could think of is present in the Psalms. Fear, sadness, joy, pain, celebration, stories of war, worship, and more are all expressed in the Psalms. This is a raw and real illustration of what it looks like to be human. And that's what makes the Psalms as relevant now as they were a few thousand years ago. That's also why the same person, David, right, this very same person who wrote Psalm 23, could also write something like Psalm 13. Because Psalm 23, which Shannon read for us, is this beautiful, says all these beautiful, sweet things about God. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, right? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 13 sounds like the exact opposite. You would think it was a totally different person who wrote these words. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Could these two experiences, these two expressions, be any further from one another? The reality is that Psalm 13 is just as true and valid and real as Psalm 23. Both are honest prayers. Both are honest expressions of the human experience and that spectrum of emotion that we all have. And frankly, we need both. We can't build our whole understanding of God off of one psalm, right? Because while it's true that God is the good shepherd who will never leave us or forsake us, there are certainly days that feel like Psalm 13, like, God, where are you? How long will you hide your face from me? To use the title of this sermon series that we've been going through this summer, Mountains and Valleys. There are seasons of life that are like mountaintop moments. Just those days and those seasons that make us feel warm, make us feel close to God, make us feel happy and joyful, where things are going our way. And then there are those dark, long valleys. The important things that the Psalms teach us, not just Psalm 23, but the whole book of Psalms, is we learn that both the mountains and the valleys are pathways to God. They're avenues for deeper communion and deeper communication with God. So as we take a closer look at Psalm 23 now, I want us to just notice three quick things, three things that we notice in Psalm 23. And we could almost do a whole series just going verse by verse through this psalm. There's so much goodness, so I won't be able to cover all of it, but just three quick things. First, God is the good shepherd. Second, we will walk through dark valleys. And third, God is with us. Let's just real quick go through each of these three. So first, verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 23 say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." And I want to talk about verse 1 especially, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." If you maybe memorized this verse growing up or you had it cross-stitched on your grandma's wall growing up, you may have seen it translated like this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And but our NIV says, "I lack nothing." They mean the same thing, right? "I shall not want" is kind of like I won't be wanting for more because I have enough. I don't lack anything. In other words, David is saying that God provides everything he needs. God loves him. God cares for him, leads him, and provides for him, just like a good shepherd. All the way to the point that David can actually mean it when he says, "I lack nothing." Now, if you're anything like me, you read this and think, that's good for David, but I'm not sure that I could ever say that with any level of certainty. I'm not sure there are many days in my life where I feel like I'm good. I lack nothing. I have everything I need. I don't know about you. In our culture, I think this is like an abundance mindset. I live with the scarcity mindset. We're always conditioned to desire more, to always want the next new thing, to have more food or more fun experiences or more friends or more money or whatever it is for you. That's why we often, I think, gloss over these bold words. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I lack nothing." But in his book, Life Without Lack, which is all about Psalm 23, Dallas Willard explains the importance of these words. Let's read this quote. It's a bit longer, but I think he's getting at something really true here. Psalm 23 begins with what is surely one of the most audacious assertions in the English language. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When you first read this thoughtfully, you may be tempted to think, is this guy living in the real world? The answer is most assuredly yes. Indeed, he is living in the most real world, a world where Yahweh is present and available and actively involved in the lives of those who know and trust him. Such people can truly say, "I shall not want," and know it to be true by experience. So can you. This audacious assertion, as Willard calls it, this audacious assertion that God is the good shepherd who provides everything we need is true. It's reality, even if life doesn't feel that way most of the time. Jesus said it in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus paints a picture of what a good shepherd is like as opposed to a bad shepherd. The bad shepherd leaves the sheep when the wolves come or when hardship comes. The bad shepherd's nowhere to be found. He runs off. But the good shepherd lays down his life. He'll do anything for the sheep. So if we are to make these words of Psalm 23, not just the story of David from the past, but if we're to make these words our own prayer, we must begin by really believing and trusting that God is our shepherd, that God loves us, cares for us, desires what's best for us, and God would even leave the other 99 sheep to come find us when we get lost. But why is it so hard for us to really believe this, to really internalize the reality that God is our good shepherd? Well, I think it's because even though we follow the good shepherd, we want to believe and trust that that's true, we inevitably face the dark valleys of life. Verse 4 just so simply says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or what other translations say, the valley of the shadow of death. To me, this is where Psalm 23 begins to move from this overly sentimental vision of God into a much more realistic one. I don't need to convince you that life is full of dark valleys. The loss of a loved one, sickness or disease, the end of a relationship, job loss, long seasons of depression, anxiety or loneliness, pain and suffering. We will face dark valleys in this life. Jesus, again, said it plainly in John 16, in this world, you will have trouble. There are seasons in life where we have no idea how we're going to get through it, or where it's going, or where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen in our careers. Our families so easily spiral out of control. Marriages fall apart. Friendships come and go. We don't know how we're going to pay for the medical bills or put food on the table. There are seasons where anything that can go wrong does go wrong. Welcome to church. I hope you came for some good news this morning. No prosperity gospel here at Missio Dei. When we choose to follow Jesus, we're just not promised a life without suffering. It's just not part of the equation. What we are promised, though, what the scriptures are clear about and what Jesus is clear about, is that we have a God who suffers with us. David says it in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God walks alongside us in the dark valleys of life. That's the third and final thing that we see in this psalm. God, the good shepherd, does not leave his sheep or abandon his sheep when they go into the darkness. He goes with them. When life sends us pain, suffering, hardship, however you want to define this dark valley, God is right there with us. And that doesn't necessarily make the suffering any easier, and it certainly doesn't make it go away. There's no way for us to fully understand or explain suffering. I can't explain why pain and evil exist, especially not in a 15-minute sermon. But to be clear, I don't think that God causes suffering or pushes us into it or anything like that. But in some hard to explain way, in some mysterious way, I think that suffering is often a catalyst for our growth, for our spiritual growth. Hardship, while it certainly has the potential to drive us away from God, it also has the power to drive us closer to God in unique ways if we will let it. David reminds us of this in Psalm 23, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. We can take comfort in this truth that we never suffer alone. We never suffer alone. Over the last few years, I've learned just how important it is. It's such a small thing. Many of you who are more naturally inclined to help others and be with them, you knew this from a very young age. But I've learned just recently how important it is to spend time with people while they're in a hard season, or if they're in the hospital, more specifically. My mom was in and out of the hospital a lot before she passed a few years ago. My dad has had some health complications, and I've been able to visit him. And I've just had some friends as well, and just people I know, in the hospital recently. And at first, it was really uncomfortable for me to go visit them. There's all the reasons that many of us don't like to go to hospitals, right? They're just these sterile, cold, kind of uninviting places. But I also just found it difficult because when I get there, I just kind of feel like, why am I here? Like, there's nothing I can do to help you. You have a nurse who's going to help you with certain things. You have a doctor. And other than just kind of sit there and maybe chit-chat, there's nothing I can do. It feels so pointless for me to be there. But I've noticed, and I'm sure if you've ever spent a stretch of time in the hospital, you can attest to this, that just having someone there with you in a difficult time can make all the difference. Even if just a soap opera's on the TV and you're eating your applesauce, someone is just there with you in that time. Maybe I can't heal your broken leg. Actually, not maybe. I definitely can't heal your broken leg. I can't cure your sickness. At best, I can try to understand what the nurses and doctors are saying, but I'll probably get lost. I can be with you. That's what I can do. I can be present to you and care for you in that really, really small way. And similarly, the God who is our good shepherd is with us much more powerfully than just when we go visit people in the hospital. But similarly, God is with us whenever we face dark valleys. God may not make the valley go away or take us out of it exactly how and when we want him to. Many of us can attest to the fact that we often do get led through the valley, and we often look back at how we changed or grew through it. God may not take us out of the valley exactly how or when we want to, but God promises to be with us, to comfort us, to love us, and to care for us, even and maybe even especially in the dark valleys of life. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.